This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Quite an atmosphere on opening day. 1-2 pitch, that's hit deep to right. Oh, that's crushed, and that is out of here. Willier Abreu has tied the game. No doubter for Abreu at 15 last year. And we are tied at 2-2. So each time the Rangers have taken the lead, the Red Sox have answered in the very next inning.
Rangers lose on opening day 5-2 to the Red Sox, looking to bounce back at Globe Life Field for day number two of the MLB season. Great to have you in, Sean and RJ, live from Keller Firehouse number one. We cannot wait to see you out here. We're here all morning. We have the Whataburger breakfast for you. We got the Sean and RJ aprons, and we're ready to fellowship until 10 a.m.
Not just that. Yeah, we do have the Sean and RJ Firehouse aprons, which you can see right here on the fan cam.
Ooh.
Right there. Yeah,
ooh,
look at that.
That feels good.
And then we've also got some remaining. You remember these, Chi-Chi? We got the Flagtober glasses here.
This is the glass that I do my cold water before bed chug every night.
Yeah. Oh.
This is my ideal. There's something about drinking cold water out of a glass, especially when it's a G-Bag Nation Flagtober bonanza. The water just tastes better coming out of here, man.
You know, it's amazing. You guys go on remote like three times a week. And you can't get rid of your own gear. You got to bring them to our show to get rid of your gear.
We actually set records from a volume standpoint.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we've overcompensated in a way, and we like to spread the wealth. So we give a little to the midday show, give a little to the morning show.
They're a volume. They're the Howie Roseman. They're a volume show.
And I will say, we've got a couple bobbleheads out here. Jaime, our guy over here giving him stuff away. No, I just can't remember the title. What is it? Promotion.
Our guy over here.
I didn't remember promotions. I didn't want to just say promotions because he's bigger than that. He's the good time curator. That's what I like to call.
Okay,
it.
I like
oh,
that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just came up with it right now to save my ass. All right, so this right here, this is for Peyton on the fan cam. It's a Nathaniel Lowe bobblehead doll.
Yeah, buddy.
Nate. Look at that. He's gonna break it. He's gonna use it as a voodoo doll because he just can't stand Nate Lowe.
The only Nate we acknowledge is Nasty Nate Evaldi, who shows up on opening day ready to be an absolute horse. He had the curveball working. He was getting the swing. The punch out, was it 9 punch outs? Opening day,
yeah,
Ranger.
17 swings and misses.
Opening day Ranger record there, at least tying it up with the 9 punch outs.
Yeah, he's solid. Look, he's solid. When they got him, when they first acquired him a couple years ago, I was like, hell yeah, this dude is a gamer. He was a gamer for the Red Sox. He was a gamer in the World Series. Every time he's been put in a big spot, the dude comes through. And opening day is the biggest regular season game that you can plan for on the calendar, right? Now, as you get closer to September and October, and you get a big late season series against your division rival, that's for the division, then you might get bigger games. But as it stands, opening day is the biggest day on the calendar. And he came to play. I mean, he's fantastic, and if they're going to do what they did in 2023, he has to, A, stay healthy and pitch the way he did that year. That's the reality of it. They're not going to go anywhere without him.
That's a big part of the – I mean, that's a big part of the equation for sure. He's going to be – I mean, we all talk about is DeGrom healthy? Is he available?
Yeah.
What bounce back are you going to get from Adolis? Like, those are all the things that we talk about. Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, you just kind of assume Evaldi, which is a nice thing.
You take it for granted.
Yeah, you do take it for granted a little bit. But it's still – he was fantastic yesterday, really dominant. Like I said, 17 swings and misses while he was out there. Gave up the one home run, but – man, he was really good yesterday. The problem was what we had been talking about all off season and leading into the year. Like, who's going to close games for you? Who's going to be there in the ninth inning? This wasn't a close situation, but tie game. Luke Jackson comes in there and walks somebody, gives up a screamer, and then gives up the home run. And it got out of hand in a real hurry there in the ninth.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to need more out of your offense for sure. I mean, when you talk about only putting up two runs, to me, that's the bigger story. The offense is going to have to carry the load here up until the trade deadline, and hopefully you put together
a hodgepodge. That's a long way away.
I mean,
4 months away, man.
No, I hear you, but that's how they were able to get it done a couple years ago, right? I mean, you have a hodgepodge of guys in the closer role, and you hope that you're just putting up 5-6 runs a game
so
that you don't have to worry about it too much.
If you remember that year – you know, they went early and got Chapman. They got Chapman,
absolutely.
Like, you know, a month and a half before the deadline. They got him early June, I think it was like June 12th, 13th, something like that.
CY will be aggressive.
Well, if they're in the position, like now, if they start off the year, you know, don't forget, they were 40-20 that year. If they start off this year, you know, 25-30, I don't know how aggressive he's going to be.
Well, even last year, though, when they were struggling, they were still buyers at the deadline.
I know.
So, I mean, he seems like a guy that wants to, unless it is just an absolute disaster with the way they've played themselves out of it by July. CY seems like the type of guy that is constantly feeling like, hey, we can still find a way to get to the postseason.
He's such a competitor. He's such a bulldog. Like, and, I mean, you love that aspect of CY. I didn't love it last year at the end of July, obviously, because I wanted to try and salvage some sort of return for guys that you knew weren't going to be here next year. But overall, I'll take that trade-off of just – he will do anything he can to keep this team competitive. I'm not worried about whenever we go, like, are they going to make a move? Are they going to go for it? Like with other teams, I'm glad that I don't have to worry about that with CY. That's a big part of it.
Amen. Okay, I have some opening day observations for the Rangers. You guys tell me if you agree or disagree
Hit
on some
me.
Of these. All right. I think it's already been spoken for. Best beard on the team. Welcome in your new number one, Kevin Pillar.
Yeah.
Best beard on the team, Kevin Pillar.
I'm trying to think. You know, I haven't seen... You know, I haven't seen everybody in the pen.
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to be really hard to touch the Kevin Pillar beard, dude.
It's a good beard. It's a really good. It's a full, thick beard.
Exactly. Also
well
groomed. He doesn't let it get
groomed. Yeah.
But you know that thing could get nasty on him if he decides to not mess with it for a couple of weeks.
Is that a barber beard? Do you think?
Yeah, that's definitely a barber beard.
That's not like anything he's keeping up on his own.
You don't think he went to like Amazon and bought that like beard lineup thing where
you put it on. I mean, maybe he's dialed that way, if he wants to save a penny and maybe he trusts his skill set, but either way the beard is working. And how about Elvis granting him permission on the jersey number one?
Yeah, look, I got my takes about the number, people who wear the number one. I'm just not a fan in general.
Why?
Across the board, you're
across
not?
The board. I think it's a look at me number.
Yeah, it's a look at me, you put the pressure on yourself to go be that guy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the smallest guy on the team wears number one, right? In high school, they gave you the jerseys based on size. You know, the smallest jersey, number one. You know, you never want to be the smallest, ever.
No.
You never do. I never cared for it.
What are other look at me numbers?
Number one.
Just number one.
That's it.
So you don't think LeBron picking 23 when he's coming out was look at me number?
No, that's an homage. Ooh. It's an homage. It's an honor number. Yeah,
I think this is an honor number honoring Elvis Andrews.
Yeah, could be.
Is that who he's honoring? I thought it was Kyler Murray.
I don't know about
big
that.
Kyler Murray guy, Kevin Pillar.
But best beard on the team is going to be Pillar. Shout out to the mustache on Berger and the flexibility at first. I mean, he had some extendos.
Yeah, he did. A couple plays in a row.
Absolutely.
Well, seventh or eighth inning. It was. He put on a little bit of a show. I like the pickup. I like the pickup of Berger.
Bearded Berger.
The Whataburger play of the game, though.
How does he not get that every game?
Whataburger?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good call. Well, I think when Josh Smith
get on that.
Makes the type of play that he made.
Oh, it's center field. Right behind second base. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my gosh. I mean, snag, spin, rip to first base. It's your Whataburger play of the game.
I was looking for more out of Bassick on that. I was looking for more. He needed to go, whoa! Oh! I was looking for more from him.
I don't think he's a wall guy. Unless it's like Little League games. But other than that, I don't think.
He does go crazy in those, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
I love you, Mike.
Josh Young looks a little bit leaner.
Peyton, what kind of sound would Bobby make on the broadcast?
Okay, we're playing it. That's
a great question.
We're going to play it. We're going to play it. We are going to play it.
I don't know why you don't have that ready. You just need to have that ready at all times. It needs to be up.
That was definitely the sound I made when I saw Josh Smith make that play.
Yeah.
We can't play this again. I got to revise it and include more choppy in it because he's in need of it now.
Is that sound Bobby singing his Rangers opening day song, or is that Bobby at the height of pleasure? We will never know.
What beat do you have it to?
Not Like Us.
Oh.
It's good.
Are you scoffing at Not Like Us?
No, it's a fine song.
That's a diss track beat for the year.
Oh, it's a Mount Rushmore diss track beat. It's not No Vaseline.
Oh gosh, you're just gonna go all like old early '90s West Coast. Well, that's the whole thing.
That's just the best one. That's without question.
It's great. It's great.
Question,
no, I'm not.
And
I'm not,
I did a song. I did a parody song.
I'm not gonna crush No Vaseline. I just think there's room for us to just appreciate all of them without taking down the other.
Absolutely.
That's what I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I felt like Josh Young looked a little bit leaner yesterday. I don't know. Maybe it was just not seeing him for a while, but it felt like this is a guy that's been recommitted. I know he does his Hurtado barbecue thing. Seems like he's pivoted more to the turkey, which salute to him for that.
Dude, you know, and that ball he hit out to right field that bounced that hit the wall.
Yeah.
That was a really solid play, like a good deke. By the right field, I think it was Abreu out right. Because I think with Berger was at first, he should have gotten a third on that one. Easy.
Abreu was killing you yesterday.
Yeah,
in all sorts
he really
of ways.
Was. He really was.
Yeah, he's a Ranger killer across the board.
After one game, he's a Ranger killer. That's his new, that's it. He's the guy for the year.
He is Tim Salmon. He is Chris Davis.
Last year, he was nasty too versus the Rangers. Now, I also felt like we might have been a Jock Peterson away yesterday. That guy woke up. He did the alpha male influencer pregame morning routine thing. He had the face in the ice water, just like you had Reitma doing in studio the other day. He's wiping the banana peel on his face. This was a dude that was locked in, ready to go, hit bomb skis. And unfortunately, I guess that thanks to the Corey Seager calf issue, they had to move some things around. But I would have loved to see Big Jock out there.
It'd have been great.
Taking hacks.
By the way, are you with me that guy, he doesn't do that in the morning?
Oh, 100% no.
He doesn't take 2.5 hours to get out of the house.
No. That was such.
I don't know. I don't know. Because here's the only thing I would say is that, like, it very well may be a bit. And maybe he's exaggerating some of it. That definitely does seem like a guy to me who has some sort of routine that takes 2 hours, though. When you look at his commitment.
No, I will say proof's in the pudding with the dude's an absolute muscular monster. So you can't fake that. And his skin looked great. I mean, that guy's exfoliated. Yeah,
but he's not doing. His gym time was 40 minutes. Like, he's not getting that body in 40 minutes, you know, with taking 2 hours to get out of the house. And it was clearly an Airbnb. There was nothing on the shelves, nothing anywhere.
I think the most egregious oversight during his morning routine was not showing the poke in the butt that he gets every day with the roids.
The HGH.
I mean, at what point do you show the people behind the curtain what you're up to, a little bowel
right
situation, okay?
Yeah. That's the real part of the prep that we missed.
If you want to be just as authentic as possible, you know, just show everything.
Show it all.
Real quick shout out before we throw to break here. We have 455 Keller Smithfield Road South for the Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour. Shout out to some of the folks who've come out here. Chris and Rusty Wells, the Wells brothers, are here. I got a chance to talk to Bobby Tatum. He's the fire chief here in Keller.
Yeah.
He gave me one of their medallions
called,
here.
Yeah.
It is fantastic. He says he listens every morning. That's what I said. Yeah. He is listening every morning, says he loves listening. And then we also had Matt and Mac from Fort Worth, which I was so glad that I only had to remember two letters on the back end of each of their name.
I know.
I was going to forget.
I thought they both said Matt when I met them. Yeah. But we have a Matt and a Mac live here at Keller Fire Station, number one in the greatness of Keller, Texas. This is a home game for me and Choppy. That's for dang sure. Basically a home game for you, too, I feel like.
Yeah, I've got the Keller gear on.
You are. You're repping it. All right, let's go into the Expressway. Commercial free to the top of the hour here on a Friday live in Keller. We'll hit the junk drawer. But first, we have a 7-round mock draft from ESPN. CeeDee Lamb, not allowed to do the finger sniff anymore. What are we doing? No fun league. Back at it again. And we have Shador scenarios next year on The Fan. Thank you, Peyton Russell. Welcome in to the morning show. Sean Sharif out back on Monday. I'm Eric Chia, follow the G-Bag Nation. We're commercial free to the top of the hour, live from Keller. Keller Fire Station number one amidst the rain, but the Tolos are showing up in full force, man. Whataburger's giving out breakfast. We got the aprons and a lot of good times.
The attendance, even when it's pouring rain right now, is very impressive. And Keller's showing out, and thank you, Ruben, as Ruben brings me a glass of water. The attendance is fantastic. I know Keller always shows up. We had Kyle and Keller showed up here on his way to work. Wes from North Richland Hills came by on his way to work. And then we had Clay, Madden, his son, and his son Blake, and they're all from Keller. Madden made sure to tell Choppy that he's his favorite. Blake said that I was his favorite, and then I only assume that their mom's favorite is Sean because she's also not here. And so, like,
simpatico.
Yeah, I figure it's very, very
similar. But, yeah, the younger one says that I'm the favorite, and the younger one is always the smarter of the children.
But the older is generally the more successful, I think, is how I look at it. So you've got a bright future, Blake.
I don't know about that. Are you the oldest?
What's that? No, I mean essentially because we disowned my older sister. But
oh, okay, fair. Yeah,
we can get into that sometime if you want.
All right, commercial free to the top of the hour, Expressway style here on a Friday. We have a Rangers ticket giveaway coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll empty the junk drawer, but right now we got a little football conversation. Bobby, we have a full 7-rounder mock draft.
From old Matt Miller over at ESPN, and I don't know how to feel about some of this. So we'll talk about what leads up to the Cowboys here. This is Matt Miller over at ESPN with his first 7-round mock draft of the year. Cam Ward, number one to the Tennessee Titans. Abdul Carter, second to the Cleveland Browns. By the way, did you see Abdul Carter yesterday? Says he's also not going to work out now. This is like a record number, I feel like, of players who say they're not working out for teams ahead of the draft. You're going to see more and more guys just saying they're not going to do this. Carter's one, too, who, like we've talked about a little bit, he's already considered kind of a pain in the neck for some people. I don't know that this helps him, especially if he's so insistent I'm the number one pick.
This is the new way, and it's going to continue. And it's their right to do it. Now, look, if the teams, the teams can put a stop to this by just saying, all right, fine, we're just not going to draft any of you in the first round. They would have to all collude together, which that would be a big problem on its own.
But if you start seeing guys slide just naturally, that might start encouraging, like, all right, well, I'm missing out on a few million. I maybe should work out a little bit.
Yeah.
Number three, Shador Sanders to the Giants. Travis Hunter to the Patriots from Colorado. Michigan defensive tackle Mason Graham to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tetaroa McMillan, wide receiver, Arizona, goes to the Las Vegas Raiders. This has been a popular Ashton Jeanty spot.
Yes, it has.
Armon Membu, the tackle from Missouri, considered a little bit shorter tackle, goes to the Jets at 7. Jalen Walker, the linebacker, edge rusher, depending on how you see him, Georgia player, goes to the Panthers. Jahdae Barron, the cornerback from Texas, goes 9 to the Saints. 10, the Chicago Bears take Ashton Jeanty, which, whoo! You get you've already got Roma Dunze, Caleb Williams, and then Ashton Jeanty,
and a revamped O line.
That would be
three starters.
It'd be a dangerous offense in the future.
That team, if they get Ashton, that is a juicy underdog NFC title pick.
In that division, you think Caleb Williams is going to go from what he did last year to leading his team to the promised land or anywhere close?
I mean, you've got. Detroit's got 1 year left of their run.
I think we're more likely to see Caleb Williams at Soldier Field crying into his mother's bosom the same way he did at USC than we are seeing him sniffing an NFC championship game next season.
Look, that may be true. I'm not even going to go there. I was going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
Coward.
I'm not going to go there. Minnesota's due for a fall. And, Green Bay is, they're solid too. It's a tough division. There's no doubt about it. It's a brutal division. It's a gauntlet. But nobody has improved themselves in the NFC if they get Jeanty along with the three starters in the O-line they got.
I'm with you. I mean, yeah. when you consider
you add in the coach.
Yeah. Right, yeah, which we all have respect for Ben Johnson.
But I'm just saying, like, you could probably get them at 25-1 to win the NFC. I mean, that's a hell of a value bet.
It is. No, I'm with you. You're right. You're the gambling expert.
Number 11, the San Francisco 49ers select Will Johnson, cornerback from Michigan, and Broadus breathes a huge sigh of relief there. He personally hates this individual.
Because he's from Michigan?
No, he actually doesn't hate him. He's just not a big fan of him as a player.
And so
everybody's been blowing up his Twitter lately, telling him you just hate him. And then the Dallas Cowboys select, man, I wouldn't love this. It's a good player. I wouldn't love this.
Right, hang on. Give me the position.
It'll give it away. It's tight end.
Oh.
Tyler Warren, tight end, Penn State. He says the Cowboys need playmakers everywhere, and that should be their focus early. Warren would give them an upper-caliber starting tight end who would instantly be Dallas's number 2 receiving option behind CeeDee Lamb. Brock Bowers showed how impactful a rookie tight end could be last season, and Warren has many similar qualities, including being able to get open underneath and a knack for creating yards after the catch. I like Tyler Warren. I think Tyler Warren's a good player.
Is he,
like I
thought, how do you compare him to Brock?
I think Brock's better, significantly.
Significantly?
Yeah, okay. I do. But, I mean, I still think Tyler Warren's one of the better tight ends we've had recently.
Is he better coming out than LaPorta?
Yes. But, like, as the evaluation. I mean, clearly LaPorta showed as a rookie how good he was. But, I mean, as the player he looked like in college, yes, he was better.
Okay.
That's just the
position for you.
Yeah, it's mainly about tight end. Just with everything else they need, I feel like tight end is the lowest priority.
Yeah, I don't think they need tight end. This is obviously, though, like one of those replacement. It's two things. I mean, it could be a replacement, you know, so you don't have to pay, pay Ferg necessarily. But also, this would fall into their best player available, would it not? This is what their philosophy has been.
Potentially. Let's see who else is on the board.
Unless you manipulate your board.
Will Campbell's on the board, offensive lineman. I think some people would argue that he's right there as a good prospect. But otherwise, I mean, that's kind of the top there. I would have a hard time saying anybody's better than Tyler Warren, other than maybe Will Campbell. And so, I mean, that's an offensive lineman. I'd rather have the offensive lineman.
Oh, I think offensive line's a bigger need. Yeah, for sure. And if all things are equal, go with the need.
Yeah. And so, by the way, shout out John Ramsey. He's here, too, right now. Tolo John just walked through. All right, second round pick. The Cowboys address running back. They get Caleb Johnson, running back from Iowa. Matt Miller writes that Cowboys wait to add their running back, and we get a powerful runner with great outside zone ability. The 6'1", 224-pound Johnson rushed for 23 touchdowns in 2024 while adding 1,700 all-purpose yards. He is a slasher who loves to run downhill and will make defenders pay if they're in his path when he clears the line of scrimmage. This is a guy Wolchuk loves. Wolchuk really likes Caleb Johnson.
Man, so does Broadus.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. There is zero chance if I was a scout I would be able to evaluate him. There's no way I would put any Iowa offensive player on film. That would be the most miserable existence, the most miserable hour of your life.
That'd be pretty high up there. Number 3, the Cowboys get a receiver in the third round, pick 76, Jack Besh, wide receiver, TCU. He's a incredible story.
Yes. So I was brought to tears on Super Bowl Sunday.
It's
with the story about his brother and his family and everything.
Incredibly emotional. So do you remember, Chop, do you remember Brett Besh? Brett Besh was the strength coordinator or one of the strength coaches for the Cowboys in the 2000s.
Nope.
Yeah, you guys weren't allowed to talk to the strength coaches back then.
When Parcells was here, you weren't allowed to talk to anybody.
If you saw him, you'd be like, oh, I saw that guy walking around the building. This is Brett's son, Jack. And so Jack Besh, or maybe it's his nephew. It's nephew or son. Can't remember. But they're related. But Jack Besh.
I remember him. Oh, yeah.
So Jack, his brother, Tiger, was the one. He was one of the people that was killed in the New Year's Eve drive attack in New Orleans with the car.
Went to Princeton.
Yeah. And two weeks later, Jack was training here in Frisco at Exos. And just, I talked to people over that facility. They could not speak highly enough about this dude came in and was like, you know, I took my time. I'm here to focus. This will help me keep my mind off things. But just a really admirable, mature kind of guy and somebody that I would think this fits the mold of what Brian Schottenheimer's talked about with culture. All right, next pick for the Cowboys is pick number 149 in the fifth round. It's David Walker, an edge from Central Arkansas. Cowboys have typically strayed, obviously, from some of the smaller school players. They've gone against that some recently the last couple of years, but typically Will McClay is one of bigger school players, even in some of the later rounds.
Yeah, they need to get the guy four down, Brew McCoy. That's what they need to take instead.
Brew McCoy. Oh, you mean the Texas trader, Brew McCoy? No.
Texas?
No,
he was at USC, yeah. Wasn't he?
He was at USC in Texas. He went back and forth with his commitment. All right, pick 171. Carson Vinson, offensive tackle, Alabama A&M for the Cowboys. Again, that's a smaller school player. I'd be surprised if the Cowboys went there.
They never do that, ever. Like and that was something that Bill really instilled in Jerry. Bill wanted big school guys.
And I get it, too, because you're talking about when you're talking about Dallas and what comes with Dallas, like, I understand you probably want to see the closest replication of what they'd be asked to deal with here.
You know, and that's like, that was one of the concerns, like, I think that a lot of people would have. My assumption is if you were to take a quarterback from a small school, you're not used to the noise of a road stadium. If you're at a small school, if you know Dak Prescott, you knew that there was not an NFL stadium that was going to face him the day he came into the league. Because he played at LSU, he played at Alabama, he played at Tennessee, he played at Georgia, he played at all those schools. There's not a single NFL stadium that is 75% of the noise of those places. Not a single one.
Yeah, and I mean, as we all know, like. SEC football, it's like we deify
more.
It's awesome. I still am so bitter that Texas is in the SEC now.
Well, you know.
Yeah, because now you're a part of that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not part of it. I'm on the outside. I'm the family member calling and saying, please come home from Marshall Applewhite's house. And Haley's Comet is not going to come get you. You need to come home. And that's what I'm doing. All right, next pick in the fifth round, pick 174, the Dallas Cowboys select Tyrion Ingram Dawkins, defensive tackle, Georgia. So solidify things a little bit there. That is a bigger school player, obviously. Pick 204, how about this name, Chop? Robert Longerbeam, cornerback, Auburn, or from Rutgers. That right there to me is a round one graded name. I love it.
It is.
Longer beam?
That's a great name, man. That's a great name.
Longer beam.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
That's strong.
Oh, and if he ever got an interception, we could say light the beam, just like they do in Sacramento.
That would be great.
I'm all for this. Pick 211, Jackson Slater, guard, Sacramento State. I actually really like Jackson Slater. That is somebody that I've already studied a little bit. Slater, again, that's Sacramento State, which is smaller school. Now, fun fact, anybody know who started their college career at Sacramento State?
Wait a second. Yes, I do. I do. I do. I do. It's going to kill me. I know exactly where he's going. I know exactly where he's going.
Current Cowboy?
Yep.
Yeah. I know exactly where he's going with it.
Waiting for a payday. Boy, you're stumped.
Deron Bland.
Deron Bland. Ring him up, Peyton.
It's not who I was thinking of. That's not who I was thinking of.
Yeah, so you didn't know it.
Football guy of the day, that's me.
You know who I was thinking of? Scataboo.
Oh, Scatabomb. What a loser.
I'm a Scataboo guy as well. Yeah. I like Dan Hurley. I like Scataboo. Yeah, like
drunk ass frat boy. 239, Dallas Cowboys select. Another great name, Yaya Black, defensive tackle, Iowa. But that's an Iowa defensive
player.
Yeah,
Iowa defense is fine. I'm fine with that.
That's what Iowa knows. Iowa knows corn and defensive tackles. That's what they know. All right, pick 247. Ty Felton, wide receiver from Maryland, is the final pick for the Cowboys. So, I would be surprised on this front. I mean, they cover a lot of their bases here with this sort of draft. But, man, I'd be surprised if they would lean as heavily into some of those smaller school players. And I'd be really surprised if Tyler Warren would be the pick for them at 12. Even if he's good, it's the same thing. You remember when you guys were doing the night show and doing nosebleeds, all leading up to that draft, told you guys, I don't care how good Kyle Pitts is. He's awesome. I don't want him. Like, it's a waste of resources given what they need and what's in the area. Same sort of thing with Brock Bowers. Although I was a little more willing to take Bowers because of where you were picking. There was not going to be anybody close to as good as him. But if I was up near the top of the draft, I would probably say I'll go somewhere else. I don't necessarily want Bowers. So same sort of thing. Jake Ferguson needs to show he's better this year. He's got to have a rebound year. He's got to show he can grow from where he's been. But it's not enough for me to say, well, okay, yeah, let's throw that at too. Well, you also love John Stevens and Princeton Fant and threw a second rounder recently at Luke Schoonmaker. that just doesn't sound like a good use of resources.
Yeah, and tight end's a tough position to come into the league and make a huge impact. We've seen guys now like Bowers and Laporta that have had some early success, but generally speaking, tight end is one of those that takes a couple of years. And this is a pretty deep tight end class. If you want to get a guy, you could probably get a solid dude later on in the draft, but they have way too many needs.
Also, Dak has shown that he can really – like tight ends do well with him. Tight ends do very well.
Yeah, Ferguson should get better this year just with having a healthy Dak, assuming Dak's going to be healthy all year.
Witten's career extended under Dak, you know, I mean, the latter part.
Dalton Schultz grew
Dalton
under Dak.
Schultz got paid, you know, under with Dak, and then obviously Ferg.
If Blake Jarwin didn't get hurt, Blake Jarwin was was the guy who was coming up on that side. All right, it is Sean and RJ here live from Keller Fire Station number 1, 455. Keller Smithfield Road South, an impressive turnout for how much rain we have right now. Yeah. My gosh, it's coming down sideways. I'm starting to feel the little mist.
Big old fat rain.
Yeah, I'm feeling the mist. That's like the third Forrest Gump reference we've had this morning.
Yeah, it is.
I'm feeling the mist coming off a little bit. The CD nose wipe celebration. Are we saying RIP to that one? That one's going bye-bye?
The league is, they are cracking down. They are cracking down on the CD Lamb nose wipe. What did you call it, Eric? The finger sniff?
Finger sniff, nose wipe, whatever it is.
What they are doing. Banning the use, quote, this is the press release they had, any violent gesture, which will include but not be limited to a throat slash, simulating firing or brandishing a gun, or using the nose wipe gesture, or an act that is sexually suggestive or offensive. And the nose wipe obviously is CDs, and it's got a connotation. You know,
we still have
I'm wiping my nose with you.
We still have
you done, like get ready to meet your maker kind of thing.
Well, and we still have a disagreement about this because the fan text fought with me over this. Some of them did, others agreed with me correctly because some of them were right. But the fan text fought with me over this. Eric fights with me over this that they don't think it's a. I believe it's the wipe your nose. Boosie celebration. That's what he's doing. You guys think it's the finger sniff. That's what you guys think he's doing.
Well, I've been.
I don't think it's. I don't necessarily think it's. I just think that's what I'm going to go with.
Oh, no. I'm saying he does think that's what it is, though.
Well, that's. I've been educated on there's some alternative meanings or whatever. I don't believe CeeDee Lamb is just doing something that is just, hey, watch me sniff my finger. I think there are some more things that he's trying to. Like different points he's trying to get across when he's doing that, which I guess is a bit violent in nature, which is not something when you look at it, you think of. When you see these guys that are doing like full-on AK-47 celebrations, how many of those did we see this past year, especially in college football?
Those are gone.
Yeah, and that makes sense. That's obvious. The nose thing, I guess, I had no idea
stupid. It's also just a stupid celebration.
You don't like that?
No, it's just stupid. First of all, you got a first down. Cool. Let's get 9 more. You need 9 more, right? Like, cool. Wow. You picked up a first down.
We moved the sticks, man.
You know, a lot of guys move the sticks. You move the stick. Big deal. Like, wow, you got a first down. Do it up. Celebrate with a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, 2-1-4, it's a young thug slime gang thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Any first down celebration, I'm like, if he did it after a touchdown, I would have a problem with them banning it. Let the players play. Let them have fun. First down, like, I'm not impressed.
That's a touchdown. Touchdown celebration.
That's a touchdown celebration. You do that for the touchdown? I'm totally backing him, man. Like, keep your banning to yourself. But the whole first down thing, like, I don't know. It's just it's like you're pimping a single.
that's kind of
you
a
know
new
how many
call.
Times Wade Boggs did that?
Yeah, I know, right?
He led the league.
Wipe your nose first.
Like, you know, you imagine like Wade Boggs out there bat flipping on a single to left. Like, put your bat down.
It's the only thing you could
bat
flip for.
Put your bat down. Just run to first, do your little goofy banana turn, and get back to first base. You know, you get a first down, just get in the huddle.
Yeah.
Hate Wade Boggs.
Just get in the huddle.
I like that, Choppy.
Cool, you hit a single.
Hey, by the way, Dak Prescott was throwing, looking good while doing it as well. Seeing some videos of him dropping back, looking like he's pretty healthy.
The people of Cleveland are pumped.
Yeah,
they are
dude,
pumped.
Shout out to the Browns, man. They're going to get their guy. All right, before we open the junk drawer, let's throw it back to Peyton because we have a Rangers ticket giveaway.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call our number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a 4-pack of Rangers tickets when they take on the Tampa Bay Rays on April 4th. And there will also be a Peagle bobblehead giveaway for the first 15,000 fans in the stadium. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Man, The Franklin injury attorney's fan text. Did you see this season? First downs were touchdowns last year. They get the first down, then they go three and out. That's the next one.
Yeah. That's it. Look, I mean, he did stop the celebration, I noticed, when Dak went out. I was like, we're not doing stuff right now.
None of this really matters anymore.
Yeah. He's just sniffling rather than wiping his nose.
All right, Peyton, let's open up the junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer? Junk it!
All right, we got great news yesterday. I'm sure, Chop, you saw this. Eric, I don't know if you did. Yolanda Saldivar. She's been denied parole. So we were concerned about it. We thought there was going to be a problem. She was denied parole. She will not be coming out.
All right, look, I have
this is Selena's killer, by the way.
I have a theory on this. They may have done this to protect her, too.
I mean,
if she had gotten paroled, she would have to have nonstop security on her.
I'm not kidding when I say I know of probably three people who, if this woman was in front of them, they would attack. I know so many people who still love Selena.
So we watch a lot of Forensic Files at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dinner time, we like to throw on, dinner time and true crime, baby, right? That's what
we're doing. Yeah, you like a good cadaver with
every time. And I want do women get less punishment than the men when it comes to prison terms? Because everyone we see, murder, life in prison without the possibility of parole for the guy. And then the girl does the same thing. She got 15 years of life and she's out in 7. I'm like, what is going on here?
I mean, look, 70 cents on the dollar with the wages. It makes sense then that it'd be 70 cents on the punishment. It's only fair.
Yeah, we win some, they lose some.
We're evening that out. But they did deny her parole. She will not be paroled. She will not be coming out. This is the 30-year anniversary coming up actually on, is it Monday? Yeah, Monday is the 30-year anniversary of the death of Selena Quintanilla. She was 23 years old when she was shot in a, I think it was like a Days Inn or something. She was in a hotel meeting up because this was her former fan club president, and she had been embezzling funds and things like that. But she's being locked down. Never fear. Nobody has to go hunt her down. She will remain behind bars. Chop, you got something?
Yeah, I do. Did y'all see the video, and I posted this on my social, of the girl keying the Tesla in Seattle yesterday?
Yes. Which one?
Yes.
Yeah. What is going on? What's
going on.
Well, I know, but you see this. Have you ever had your car keyed?
No.
No.
My dad had his car keyed. I don't know. My dad was a little hothead, right? He would always yell at people in the car. Put your phone down! He would roll the window down. And this lady, I don't remember where we were. It was at a mall or something like that. And he got kind of into a shouting match with her through the window. Like, the windows were closed.
Yeah.
And we come back, and there's just that key mark right along the side. Oh, I was like, you got, Dad. You got-
and he learned from it, and he never yelled at anyone after
Absolutely
that?
Not. It made him even more enraged. Okay. I thought he was gonna just find her car, just ram into it, just slash her tire.
Just take it out on a random vehicle. Yeah. Just go, that was probably the one.
But, dude, if you see that, if you saw somebody key in a car, do you stop it? Or do you just, walk by and, ooh, that sucks?
I feel like the car key is, such a subtle, down by your... I don't know that I'd notice it unless I was standing right there looking
at it. Well, she was, a teacher at a chalkboard.
Oh, so she was just,
She was going... Yeah. She was going nuts.
She was writing her name
all
on the board.
These people are so funny, though, because they don't... I guess they just don't realize or they don't care that the vehicle itself is filming them. They are...
That's the wild thing.
They're under surveillance the whole time they're vandalizing this car, and they're do they not realize this?
I think people are just learning this. I think that's the problem. I think that this information starts, and they're understanding now that that's what it is. So I think you're probably going to see a lot more, people masking up to do this. And,
maybe.
And that's what you'll see will follow out from that, is what I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I saw a guy with a beat up four wheeler, and he was just teeing off on parked Teslas. And he's caught on camera very, very easily.
Did you see the one video of the guy reaching behind himself and getting some self-residue, and then he was wiping it on the door handle?
He put the booty grease right there on the car.
Yeah, over and over again. Several times did it. Yeah, it was disgusting.
This is what I would do.
I'm going to throw up.
It was awful.
Eric, give us something else. I'm going to throw up.
Plenty of people are doing that, by the way. He's not the only one that's going with, like, bodily stuff onto the car.
So you get, now you got to, like, if you're a Tesla owner, you got to go around and, like, smell your door handle before you get in.
No, you don't. I would just, like, use a napkin at that point or something. I don't need to smell.
That's fair. What is the proper punishment for this United Airlines pilot who turned the plane around 2 hours into a flight because he forgot his passport?
Smelling a Tesla door handle.
I mean, oh, there you go. That'd be a nice punishment there. I mean, United Airlines flight, they had to turn around 2 hours into the journey from L.A. to Shanghai because the pilot realized while he was in the air that he didn't have his passport.
We talked about this story.
That's ridiculous.
It's insane.
How does United allow a pilot to get all the way to an airplane without having to prove that you have the passport?
How do you get through security? Like, if you're you know, like, you should have that. How do you get on the plane?
This is leaving Shanghai?
No, this is leaving
LA. I thought I read something the other day that said it was actually he was leaving Shanghai, and he, like, left it in his hotel.
No. It was in LA, wherever it was in LA, if it was in a hotel or his own house. But, yeah, he was leaving LAX. They flew back to San Fran. This happened again, though, in Paris the next day. Not with a passport. They get in the air about an hour in, and a passenger's like, I can't find my phone.
Not good enough to turn around, sorry.
And they turn the plane around.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it was a security issue in case the phone was lost on the plane, that it could have been like an explosive device.
What?
Yeah.
A lost phone is now considered a potential explosive device?
Somebody comes up and says, I lost my phone. And your first thought is,
it was a precautionary
they're hiding this bomb
measure
on this plane.
That's miserable.
When they got to the gate, maintenance got on the plane and found it. They found the phone, but because they contain lithium batteries that could pose a fire hazard if they're overheated or confined. So, like, if they're saying, like, if this was in your checked luggage.
Oh, so this is an explosive risk. It's not that it's a bomb, it could explode because
no,
of the batteries.
No, it's the battery that could explode. If you put your phone in your luggage, right, and it's underneath, like, it could theoretically explode on you. That's pretty wild, man. Like,
okay.
I guess
if they're worried about, not so much like, oh, this could be a bomb, they're more worried it could explode because of the batteries, then I understand it a little bit more.
Bobby, question from the 214. Did you play the diss track? I want to hear it, and I missed a segment on the work toilet.
I did not. I don't think I can play it while kids are in the car going to school right now. We'll see.
It is pretty aggressive and heavy-handed.
Well, if kids are in the car going to school right now, don't talk about the story of monsters hiding under their bed.
No, this is a good thing.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. I saw this headline, and I was too frightened.
I don't know if this is good thing or not.
This is a wild story. Okay, yeah. So this is from CBS News. A babysitter was in Kansas. Kids came up to her, were like, there are monsters under the bed. She's like, don't be silly. There are no monsters under the bed. Monsters are not real. And so she went over to the bed and she said, I'm going to show you there are no monsters under this bed. And she lifted up the blanket and there was no monster under the bed. Instead, there was a fugitive, a man lying under the bed, hiding out from police. The babysitter found a man hiding under the child's bed after they attempted to show the children there was nothing under there.
Sure. That's not going
to
give anybody
Barton
nightmares.
County Sheriff's
That's
Office.
That's going to give me nightmares, Bobby.
She came face to face with a male suspect who was hiding there, the sheriff's office said. Sheriff deputies arrived at the home just outside the city of Great Bend at 10:30 p.m. on Monday. After they were called for the disturbance, deputies arrived. The babysitter told the deputies that when the man was discovered, there was an altercation. The babysitter and the child were knocked over during the scuffle, and the suspect fled. So he was just trying to get the hell out of there, I guess, is what was happening. But the following day, deputies spotted the man while they were in the area looking for the suspect. He ran, and after a short pursuit, they caught him. He is now being held on $500,000 bond. But this is why you need to check those things. Specifically you, Chop. I think specifically under your bed, you need to check for the fugitives.
You know, I think it would be okay. Our dog can no longer even fit under our bed, so I don't think an actual grown adult can.
I mean, I guess it depends on how big the adult is.
What always freaks me
Cody
out.
Cody can fit under your bed.
Yeah, he could fit under.
Yeah, Cody could.
Yeah,
for
Cody
sure.
Could.
The stories that freak me out and that, like, keep me awake sometimes is the idea of people, like, up in the
attic.
Yeah,
yes.
And they're, like, peeking through the vents or whatever. And there's been stories about people living, unbeknownst to the homeowners, in the attic or whatever for extended periods of time. That freaks me out so much.
I wonder if I have, like, a somebody living in our attic, or we sleepwalk. Because every now and then, I'll come out in the middle of the night and a light's on that I didn't turn on. And I'm wondering, all right, did Sarah wake up and turn it on in the middle of the night? Did I sleepwalk? or do we have somebody living upstairs?
Do you sleepwalk? Do either of you?
I don't know.
I used to. I'm a very deep sleeper. I haven't actually wet the bed in a while, which is good. But
that's
there
good.
there was a time. Sleepwalking. I haven't done the sleepwalking thing in quite some time. I think I'd still do the sleep talking thing.
Yeah.
But that was always a huge topic of conversation
right.
in my house with my buddies. You have a sleepover. Next thing you know, they're like,
fight.
Oh, my gosh, dude, you're talking about weird stuff. And my eyes will be open, and I'll never remember what happened. I just go right back to
yep.
sleep.
I will sleep fight. I literally once grabbed my brother's head because I shot up. I don't remember it. I shot up in our bunk beds, and I was like, who are you? And he grabbed my shoulders, and he, like, shook me. He was trying to mess with me. And I took his head, apparently put it between the ladder on the bunk bed, and I was just slamming him up and down between each railing. And I don't even remember it.
Violent in your sleep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So people know not to, like, they just try to wake me up from afar.
They need to
yell.
You need to go to sleep in a straitjacket is what
yeah,
you need
really
to do.
Yeah, it sounds
yeah.
like you do.
Yeah. Psychopath convention, right?
All right. Next. Yes, it is. Next one here. And this is a little PSA for the fellas out there. Women are and guys are doing the same thing but they are hiring loyalty testers.
Oh.
They are hiring people to flirt with you to see if you stray.
Interesting.
The entrapment that this is.
That is entrapment. That
it
would
is
not
entrapment.
Stick.
But I mean, whose significant other would do this?
This Kristen, one right there.
Kristen
she pulling? Would.
Yeah,
she would do it.
Kristen would pull this move.
Yeah, as Kristen just pulled up. What would be the like if Sarah was trying to go like, oh, I'm gonna get RJ. I'm gonna test his loyalty.
Yeah.
Describe the woman she would hire.
Man, I don't know, man. I like a girl who looks like a mover.
Okay, so like a mover, like moves things. She moves herself. Like you mean she's into
she's
cardio
like a,
or
she's like a mover?
Oh,
like she would be the one that would be doing the heavy lifting with
yeah,
furniture.
Yeah, I don't want doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So Sarah would hire Carly. Who would?
Oh God.
Who would Marion hire? What would this woman look like?
That's a good question.
Paige Spiranak?
Yeah, Paige. Paige will work.
Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with that, Bob.
She's not, Paige is not the, my favorite golfer is Cass. Cass is the favorite golfer of mine. Paige is number two.
I don't
Cass
think
Marie.
I'm familiar with
Cass Marie. Oh, she's
Cass's work.
Oh, you should be.
No clue who that
you
is.
You need to look up
Kristen. I know
she's an influencer golf
yeah,
girl.
Yeah, just like her, just like Paige.
Just copy and paste.
A
little sip,
same yeah, bit. She's different. She's like a long drive champ.
Kristen is convinced I don't like blondes, which I've never said, and I've told her I do like blondes. But she's convinced that anybody that I think is attractive is a brunette, and so she would just probably look for a brunette to try and get me. Is how it would work, I would guess.
Yeah, that would be actually similar for me as well. Yeah. I lean the brunette way. All right, there it is, the junk drawer on a Friday, live here from Keller Firehouse number 1. We would love to see you here until 10 a.m. We got the Whataburger breakfast for free. We also got the Sean and RJ Firehouse aprons as well. So come on out, say hello. We cannot wait to see. It looks like the rain's starting to lighten up a little bit, so that's good news. We barrel into the 8 o'clock hour with more opening day conversations and MLB predictions for the season, as well as the craziest baseball food item I've seen to date.
Yeah.
That's next right here on The Fan.